Father, as we come before you today, we're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for the light, the life, the revelation, the insight to your word, Lord. We thank you that we're blessed with spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I'm asking you, Father, to open the eyes of the understanding of this congregation. Give us wisdom, Lord, insight to your truths. Let us see by the power of the Spirit of God the things that you want us to see, and reveal those things to us, Father, so that they affect our lives, Lord. Not that we just gather information, Father, or truth about your kingdom, but that we will be people that will enter the kingdom of God, Father. Father, we thank you for revelation, and we thank you for it. And Lord, I just thank you that we will enter the kingdom of God and not just talk about the kingdom of God. Help us, Father. Strengthen us in our inward beings to know the height, the length, the depth, the breadth of your love. Father, I thank you for the great love wherewith you've loved us, that you never leave us, you never forsake us, that you're present with us, Lord.
Yes.
We thank you, Father, for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're going to talk about the pursuit of peace. One of the things that I guess being a pastor, being in the pastoral ministry, you really find and see through the lives of people, just counseling and being around people, how absent sometimes we are from peace, that fear and anxiety, turmoil, confusion, sometimes just kind of settles on people's hearts and their minds, and not that the Lord's not providing a way or not showing us a way, but sometimes the cares of life and the pressures of life become great. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Does anybody here know what I'm talking about? Whether that's relationship oriented, or whether that's business oriented, whether that's church oriented, whether that's government oriented, whatever. The pressure is on, and I wanted to do this series because I want us to recognize, and this is a truth that I hope that you can gather, peace is not a place. People are switching wives and husbands, and they're switching churches, and they're switching leaders, they're switching jobs, they're switching everything, thinking that they're going to find peace. And peace is not a geographic location. Peace, is not something that we're going to experience because the external changes. Peace is something that the Lord left with us so that we could experience something internal. Everybody say amen to that. And if we are continually looking for a place of peace, if we're continually looking externally for peace, we actually become idolaters because we are idolizing whatever circumstance that is that we think won't bring us peace. And this is what I have observed. And not only in my life, I think this is, I've observed this in a lot of people's lives, is that we find ourselves in a position of not having peace. Not having that turmoil that I was talking about. And we begin to try to glean or gather information, or even revelation, even just we maybe hearing the word or whatever, and we gain a lot of information and revelation even, but entering into that is another thing altogether. Amen. Entering into the kingdom can actually be within you, but entering into the kingdom of God is a whole nother ball of wax. It's a whole nother picture. We talk to a lot of people about the kingdom of God. We talk to a lot of people that have a lot of information about the kingdom of God. And, I've been walking, endeavoring to walk with the Lord for 30-something years ourselves, But you have to understand, just because we have some sort of knowledge about the kingdom of God, it doesn't mean that we've entered into that. It doesn't mean we're experiencing that on a daily basis. It may be ours to experience, But if we're not experiencing it on a daily basis, if we're not experiencing it in our lives, and, you know, I'm just so totally sold out that the Lord wants us to slow down enough to experience the kingdom of God. Amen. To experience. What does Romans 14, 17 say? It says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And you know, I think if we would all just kind of chill out and quit looking at people and places for our peace, you know, quit looking toward places and peoples and kingdoms and things and gifts and everything else for our peace, we're going to lead a whole lot happier life and full life. Because, you know, in the pursuit of peace, when we're trying to find peace in places and people, we're often disappointed. We're often discouraged. And we lose, you know, we lose our joy, we lose our confidence, we lose really the very thing that Jesus came to give us. The very thing that he came to give us. You know, one author said this. He said, Jesus left his clothes to the people at the foot of the cross. You know, the centurion's guards took his clothes. He left his will in the hands of the Father. You know, his own spirit and will, he left that in the hands of the Father. He left his mother with John. You know, he said, told John there at the cross, at the foot of the cross, behold, your mother, take my mother and make her your mother. But you know what? He left his disciples peace. He said, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. And when we have a worldly mindset, like, you know, a worldly mindset says, if we can get a large enough following, we'll have peace. The worldly mindset says, if we can have enough money, we'll have peace. You know, have you ever found out that money makes itself wings and flies away? People do too. A worldly culture says if we can get a large enough crowd, we can have peace. But see, Jesus said peace is only going to come through a relationship with him. It's only going to come when really we stop seeking peace. And see, I'm convinced a lot of people seek relationships because they're trying to find something lacking in their own life. People seek money because they're trying to find something lacking in their own life. People seek a lot of things trying to find peace, and they end up really in deeper debt from peace than if they had slowed down and said, you know, this is not, my peace is not in places, people, and things. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I want to have peace in my heart. Amen. I want to have peace internally. If the whole world goes crazy, I want to have peace in my heart. Amen. I want to have peace. I want to experience that peace. I want to have that peace in my life. And I began to ask the Lord, I said, you know, Lord, I'm just observing a lot. You know, I'm observing a lot of people. Let me just read to you some statistics. Antidepressants was one of the top three prescribed medications in 2010. Listen to this. 40 million people in the U.S. will experience an impairment because of an anxiety condition this year. 40 million people. 65% of North Americans take prescription medications daily, and 43% take mood-altering prescriptions regularly. Wow. 43%. Wow. Now think about that. Don't tell me people aren't looking for peace. Yeah. You know, there are people, we want peace. We do. We are created in the God class, and God wants us to have peace. Amen. He doesn't want us to be worried about all the stuff that's going on, folks. We can't take care of it anyway. There's nothing we can do about. I mean, other than, you know, we can be proactive in regard to our prayer life and believing God, and we can be proactive in our government. We can be proactive in a lot of things, but we have to really remove ourselves and say, you know, Father, the end result of this is in your hands. I'm going to do the things that I know to do, but the end result of my life, a pursuit of peace, I'm going to say that the end result of my pursuit of peace is in your hands. Listen to this. Now this is, I found these statistics, they're kind of old. This was in 2002, so what's that? 9 years ago? 3.3 billion prescriptions filled. That's 12 prescriptions for every man, woman, and child in the U.S. for the year of 2002. Paxil and Zoloft, two of the more popular anti-anxiety medications, ranked 7th and 8th in the top 10 prescribed medications in the U.S. Listen to this. These two medications totaled almost $5 billion in sales, and that's in 2002. Now, folks, I'm bringing these out. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. If you need medications, that's fine. Take them. But I'm just saying we need to be aware. People are looking for peace. They want something that will steal their souls. They want something that will calm down the anxiety. And I'm telling you, God is not opposed to that. He is the author of peace. He desires for us to have peace. And so I just began to ask the Lord. I said, Lord, you know, Where are we going to go for peace? Because see, if we're fear-minded people think other people are out to get them all the time. Fear-minded people are paranoid about the government. They're, you know, fear-minded people are paranoid about life. They're just, it's just like you're always thinking something is out there to get you, and if it's out there to get you, you are not going to survive unless you do A, B, C, or D to survive. Folks, I want us, listen, I don't want us to stick our head in the sand about what's going on around us. You can't do that. But listen, we can't be in fear either. We can't operate our lives out of a survival mode. I am not surviving. I am living. Amen. We are living beings. We are not survival. We're not a survivalist. We're living beings. We are enjoying our lives. We are enjoying our fellowship with the Lord. We are enjoying fellowship with each other. But see, the premise and the basis of that fellowship and relationship has to come through the peace that Jesus offers, because as soon as we think there is one individual that's going to promote and bring us peace, that individual will fail us. Amen. Let me read to you what Jesus said here in Luke 19:42. Don't go there, because I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. Listen to this. He said, "Would that you had known personally," everybody say personally, "even at last in this your day, the things that make for peace, for freedom from all distresses that are experienced as the result of sin, and upon which your peace," listen to this, "upon which your peace, your security, your safety, your prosperity, and happiness now depends." What's he saying? He's saying, when he was looking over Jerusalem, he's saying, I would that you would come unto me so that you could find peace, but you would not. I started to say this earlier. Anything that we are removing in our lives, anything that we are exalting, anything that we are trying to do to establish that peace and security that only God can bring ultimately becomes an idol in our lives. You know, I said this a couple of weeks ago. To some of us, the idol is thinking, well, there was a good old day. No, 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 no. Right now is the good old days. Amen. Right now. Let's not think, you know, we've got, for years, Christians lived their lives singing songs that, you know, one day Jesus is going to come. One day we're going to have in the great by and by, we're going to have life, we're going to have a good life. And folks, please, I don't want to diminish that. There's a truth in that. You'll find that any time people get off on one side of the ditch or the other, there's usually a truth right in the middle of the road somewhere that we can walk on. But see, we sang those songs forever and ever about Jesus coming back, and we're going to have joy when Jesus comes back. And the Lord wants us to have joy and fullness of life right now. He said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And he didn't say, when I come the second time. He said, when I come now, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. God wants us to enjoy this life without thinking that back yonder was the good old days. And then maybe someday up there it'll be the good old days. No, no, no. Right now, he said, right now, your peace for freedom from all distresses that are experienced as a result of sin, and upon which your peace, your security, your safety, your prosperity, and your happiness depends. Right now. Well, someday. Well, see, listen. Someday we're all going to be dead. If the Lord tarries, we're going to die. And I know youthful flesh and flesh doesn't like to think about that, but that's a fact of life. And I am convinced that God has me as a voice before you. I'm convinced of that. I mean, you know, sometimes I think, God, why do you do the things the way you do? I know the scripture is true that he chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, because I look at y'all and I think y'all are so wise, and I think I'm such a fool, you know, sometimes. But I know the truth is he uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Amen. Amen. And I believe God has ordained that I be a voice before you to declare the gospel of peace to you. The gospel of peace in your life. Don't curse your cup.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Don't curse the cup. Let me tell you something. People are cursing their cups all the time. We don't want to curse the cup of blessing that God has given us.
That's right.
Amen. So I began to ask the Lord. I said, Lord, what is it going to take for us to live in a life of peace? We know that God has already done everything he's going to do in regard to providing that peace. See, we've got to get over the world mentality to think this. There's a lot of people that think this. Let me tell you something. The absence of war does not mean there's peace. People think if you never have a conflict, if you never have a problem, that means you've got peace. No, we have peace right in the middle of conflict. We have peace right in the middle of lack. We have peace right in the middle of insecurity. We have peace when it doesn't seem like anybody else could have peace. And Paul wrote to the church at Philippi and he said, your peace is a peace that will pass your natural thinking. It will pass understanding. Your peace is a peace that passes human reasoning and thinking.
Yes, amen.
Amen. I'll tell you what, if you've ever been through a trial and a test, you know what I'm talking about. So let me give you four things here that I think we have to experience peace. We want to know who God is. Everybody say, know who God is.
Know who God is.
We want to know that we are right with God. Amen. Everybody say, I'm the righteousness of God. To know who you are, not circumstances or mistakes you've made. Has anybody in here ever made a mistake? You are not the mistake that you made if you are in Christ Jesus. And to know that God is for you.
Yes.
To know who you are and to know that God is for you. Now, to know who God is. I want to talk a little bit about who God is. How many of you know that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 gives us the definition of who God is?
Yes.
It says God is love. Let me just give you a few of those. God is never finished with you. Never.
Woo.
I mean, as long as you have breath in your body, he's not finished with you. He never gives up on you. He never quits. He never gives up on us. Aren't y'all glad? God is involved in our lives as much as we want. He is involved in our lives as much as we want him to be. Of course, you know, I think we all realize and recognize the want to in us needs to be greater that he is involved in our lives.
Right.
But isn't it great that God is not condemning us while we're trying to figure out if we want more of him or not?
Yes.
He's involved in our lives as much as we want. You know, I've got some good news for you. When you know who God is, see, a lot of people still haven't figured out who God is. A lot of people haven't. I'm just honest. They have not settled in their hearts and mind who God is. I want to tell you something. God never keeps a record of your wrong. Isn't that great news? He never keeps a record of a wrong. Goodness gracious, think about that. God never keeps a record of the wrong that we've done toward Him. Never. I don't know about y'all, but that's good news to me.
Amen.
That is such good news to me that love never keeps a record of wrong. Let me just read some of this to you out of the Amplified Bible here. I want you to get a hold of this. Because, see, if we can understand the character of God, you know, let me encourage you something here. If there is anything that I would encourage you to settle in your heart, it's to know who God is. The way you're going to find out who God is. How do we know who God is? Let me tell you something. Jesus said to Thomas and to the disciples, He said, "If you have seen me, you've seen the Father." Now, when you look at the ministry of Jesus, that is the way we are going to define who God is. Listen, if I read the epistles, what I mean by the epistles is like 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Timothy, Titus, the letters that Paul wrote, that Peter wrote. When I read the epistles, and for some reason they don't match up with who I see Jesus being in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then I've got to run that back through the cross to see if it fits. If it won't pass the cross test, it won't pass the test. If you want to know who God is and you read something in the epistles that brings fear to you or condemnation to you, then take that and run it right back through the cross. If it doesn't fit at the cross, if it doesn't fit at Calvary, it won't fit. It's not who God is. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
I hope it does. Because you'll read some writings of Peter and Paul, and like Peter said about Paul's writings, he said, man, some of Paul's writings are hard to understand. He said, don't twist those scriptures to move yourself out of the grace of God. Don't twist those scriptures. He said, take that scripture and bring it back through what the cross is. Because let me tell you something. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is a point in time that everything, past, present, and future, will be funneled through.
Amen.
The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So if you read something that doesn't line up with that, then I encourage you to take enough time to slow down in your life to find out what is really being said. Because if it's not coming through the love of God that was demonstrated through the cross of the Lord Jesus, then the revelation is not clear. It's not plain. But let me read to you this definition here. Listen to this. If I can speak in the tongues of men and angels. Everybody say, thank God for tongues.
Thank God for tongues.
Listen to this. But have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all secret truths and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains but have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing. I am a useless nobody. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned, or in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Listen to this. This is the definition of love. God's love towards you. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Aren't you glad God's that way to you? Love is never envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act becomingly? Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights. Now, folks, I'll tell you something. When you read that about God, you've got to understand that's defining who God is. He does not insist on his own rights. Even though his way is the right way of life, he does not insist on it.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus. Listen to this now. God is involved in our lives as much as we want him to be.
Phew.
Love is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It's not rude, unmannerly, and does not act becomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. Listen, it takes no account of the evil done to it. I think one translation says it keeps no record of a wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. That is God's viewpoint towards you. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own right. See, folks, listen. We are never going to have peace if we don't know who God is. Because, see, if we are thinking that God is demanding his rights, how many of us realize there's times in our lives we're not doing what God wants? Has anybody ever realized that you're not doing what God wants?
Oh, yes. Yes.
But see, if we have the mentality that God is demanding his rights, we're going to be walking in a sense of fear and no peace. If we have the sense that God is keeping a record of everything we've done wrong, we're going to be walking in fear and not peace. If we're thinking that God is going to bring destruction and havoc because mankind isn't walking according to the way he wants them to, then we are always going to be walking in fear and missing the peace of God.
Wow.
See, we want to know who God is.
Amen.
Who is he? See, one of the things that I want to encourage you all, the reason we come to church is so that we can be edified, so that we can be strengthened, so that we can be built up. And the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 10 to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and so much more as we see the day approaching. Everybody say, not forsake.
Not forsake.
He also says, right before that, he says, to encourage one another unto good works. Everybody say, good works.
Good.
See, the reason we're coming to church is that we are encouraging you to good works. We are encouraging you and exhorting you to walk before the Lord. And you think, man, Pastor Ron, you know, the cares of life are trying to rob my peace. I need to spend some time with you. You know, it's amazing to me that people that want to spend time with me are time with church leaders, but they won't come to church. Do you know that that is an abomination to God? We're when we do that, we are making men God instead of God God.
Wow, 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 wow.
Amen. God is God. You have a relationship with God. I don't mind spending time with people, and sometimes people need help. You know what I'm saying? And that's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that can never substitute for what you gain when you sit and hear the Word of God. It can never substitute for your relationship with God. Never. Never. Why? Because you and I, listen to me, we want to know God. I want to know God. Why do I want to know God? I want to know God because I want some of this peace he's talking about. You know, the pressures of life, if you haven't noticed, the gauge is being turned up hotter and hotter. Folks, I tell you, the peace of God, though, listen, the peace of God has always been a sustaining force that we can experience that peace in the middle of trials, temptations, and tests. Here's another big one. What makes for our peace? Here's another big one with people. Knowing that you're right with God. Well, Pastor Ron, I don't know that I am right with God. Well, see, you'll never experience peace if you don't know that you're right with God. How does your rightness come? Does your rightness come by your conduct? I'm sorry, but it doesn't. If your rightness came by your conduct, then Jesus died in vain. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And folks, when we receive Him into our lives, let me just read you a couple of scriptures here. In Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, in the King James, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read just two through the, from the New Living Translation. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done. Let me read it to you out of the Amplified. The Amplified says, therefore, since we are justified, listen to this, acquitted, declared righteous, giving a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold on to and enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I am declaring you acquitted before God. I declare you at peace with God. I declare God at peace with you. I declare, just if you want to put it down on the rubber meets the road level, God's not mad at you, and He's not looking for a way to get you other than to bless you.
Thank you.
My face turned red. I know it did. Everybody say it out loud. God's not mad at me. I'm telling you, when you know who God is, when you know who you are, when you know that you are the righteousness of God, if you have received Jesus into your life, if you have accepted Him into your life, listen to this now. If you received Jesus into your life when you were 12 years old and you lived to be 100 years old, the day that you received Jesus is the day that you became the righteousness of God. If you live to be 100 years old, you are not going to be any more righteous at 100 than you are at 12. Righteousness is a free gift to us. It is not based on human conduct. If it was based on human conduct, we all would fail that mark. It is a free gift of the grace of God in our lives that we are born again, and that gift is deposited on the inside of us. That is why I can stand before myself and before a group of people that I have no idea what your sins have been and declare that you are the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have right standing. I'm going to read it to you again now. Listen to it. Therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and giving a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have peace, have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Whew. That's good news to me.
Amen.
That's the good news gospel, folks. I think there's one place it says it's the good news gospel, and it's hard to believe that it's true, but it is true.
Amen.
And we have made following Jesus so much about fear. You know, we need to respect the Lord. He's good. He's a good man. The Lord's a good man. I mean, the Lord is good, and He's a good God. The Lord Jesus is a good man, and the Father is a good God.
Amen.
They're good.
Hallelujah.
And we need to respect them. We need to honor them in our lives. But folks, we are not earning anything from God. That was bought and paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, wouldn't it be sad if I took Jim and Carol and Caleb here and didn't tell them, you know, and went down to the Ford dealership and bought Jim and Carol and Caleb a brand new F-100 2011 Ford truck, paid for it. I mean, just paid for that truck, and they just had the best, I mean, got the color they wanted, the size they wanted, the engine that they wanted. They got everything that they wanted, and then they went down there and decided, well, no, we're going to cut your grass down here for the next 5 years to pay for this truck. Well, wouldn't that be an insult to me? Huh? That's right. You'd take that truck, wouldn't you, Jim and Carol and Caleb? Y'all would take that truck. Listen, That's exactly what we have to do with eternal life. That's exactly what we have to do with peace. The word, the Greek word for receive is lambano, which means to take it.
Yes.
Lay hold upon it and get that cloud of condemnation and guilt off of our minds. And that cloud is what's producing the fear that's robbing us of peace. We cannot have peace with God if we think He is out to get us, if we think He has not acquitted us, if we think that He's just waiting for us to make a mistake. There is no peace there, folks. I'm telling you, there is no peace there. There's no peace there. But when we recognize, He's acquitted us. I mean, could you imagine someone being acquitted of a horrible crime and then going back and saying, hey, I think y'all ought to try me again.
No, I can't.
But you know, we do that all the time. We do that all the time. God, I think I'll carry just enough of this condemnation and guilt. I think I'll carry enough of this survival mechanism. I think I'll carry enough of this self-justification to justify myself because I just don't quite believe that you acquitted me enough. I think a lot of times we're so afraid that we'll live loosely and people will abuse God. They do all the time. But I'll tell you, whether people abuse it or not, the truth has to be spoken and preached.
Yeah.
I just want you to get a hold of this. I'm not going to go into the other two because I just don't have enough time. But remember, it's to know who God is, to know you're right with God, to know who you are, and to know that God is for you.
Hallelujah.
I'll tell you, we're talking about peace, folks.
Yes.
We're talking about peace. Listen, Jesus paid too great of a price for us to go through our lives with worry, anxiety, with what, 43... Was it 43 million people having to take something to help calm them down? To help bring that? I mean, thank God, God hadn't forsaken folk that need that. But folks, listen to me. If there is that many people that are trying to find peace, we need to be proclaiming the peace.
Amen.
We need to be declaring that God's not mad at you, that God's acquitted you, that God, that love does not insist on its own way. I'll tell you, Jesus is our Prince of Peace.
Hallelujah.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Why don't you stand to your feet with me?